Let us pray. Almighty Father, may you be in our words and our meditations of our hearts this morning. Help us to hear with joy your word proclaimed. Amen. So, acclaimed movie director Alfred Hitchcock, who was known for creating really suspenseful films, once said that movies are life with the dull bits cut out. Because we want to see the exciting scenes and the interesting dialogue, but nobody wants to see the lead character of a movie doing their laundry or brushing their teeth, at least not without some great soundtrack or maybe a plot twist. We also tend to want our Christian life to have the boring parts cut out. We want to go from mountaintop to mountaintop without the boring everyday discipleship part that is in between. And so the last few weeks we've been talking about these ordinary moments, because all of the boring parts of our life matter to God. The last 2 weeks we talked about things that we do, active things, making the bed, creating peace with one another. As we finish up this series today, we're going to talk about maybe the most passive thing that we do that is ordinary, sleeping and waking. About 1/3 of our lives are spent in sleep, so that's a lot of time. And it shows our limits, because sleep deprivation can really cause a host of mental and physical and emotional problems. And so this bodily limit can be a reminder that we really inhabit a very vulnerable humanity. And sometimes we might not like to be reminded of how frail we really are. But it's also a good reminder of the way we remind ourselves of Christ's humanity. Because Jesus needed sleep the same way that we do. In fact, one of my favorite moments is in the gospel is when Jesus takes a nap in the boat. We read about it in chapter 4 of Mark and also in Luke and in Matthew. And the storm is raging and the disciples are freaking out. And I love it because it's an ordinary example of a man taking a nap. And I love naps. But also because it's one of the ways that we learn about his unwavering trust in God. When the disciples wake him from his sleep in the midst of this storm, he asked, "Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith?" So what if we began to look at each night of sleep as yielding ourselves to God, trusting that God is at work in us and at work in the world, even as we sleep? What if we looked at sleep as an opportunity to let go of our self-reliance and instead abide in God? You know, self-reliance is a good value. Especially in our individualistic culture, we learn that self-reliance is important pretty early. We hear phrases like, if you want a job done, do it right, do it yourself. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Don't depend on anyone except yourself. I think we learn from an early age that our success largely depends on our own effort. And that's good. But I wonder if it shows up in our faith, if that self-reliance shows up even in our worship. And I think that it does. Worship can become a place of self-reliance when we seek to create an experience or we try to achieve a particular spiritual mood by our own effort. Maybe you've said or you've heard someone say something like, "I just wasn't feeling it today." As if we were unable to create the right experience for us to worship. When really God is asking us to give up control, to sit in his presence untethered to our own efforts. Because our efforts are not what make us beloved by God. And to know that is true, we can look at the baptism of Jesus in Mark 1, verses 9 through 13. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. You know, we think of God sometimes as the ultimate parent. And this makes me think of when my children were born. And in that first moment that I held them, you just immediately fall in love with them, right? And as that little infant, they have not done anything yet to make you love them. They have not, at that point, done anything to make us proud. But we love them instantly, and we are instantly proud, and they are instantly adored by no effort of their own, just because of their very being. "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." It's worth noting that at the baptism of Jesus, it came before his public ministry, that he had not yet done anything that anybody would consider impressive. He hadn't healed anyone. He had not yet resisted Satan or gathered his disciples or preached to thousands of people. The incarnation of God had to this point in his life presumably led a very quiet, ordinary life in a village as a carpenter. And yet he emerges from the water, and the Spirit of God shows up and declares him the Son of God, Beloved. And so this is the cornerstone of his identity before he goes out to begin his public work as Lord and Savior. It is because of God's love that Jesus goes out and loves others, heals people, preaches God's word, teaches, rebukes, and redeems. And he did all this not to gain his Father's approval, but because of his identity as God's Son. And so I wonder how we can claim that identity as a beloved child of God in our everyday life. Maybe we can in one of the most ordinary moments we have. When we wake up, we have those first sleepy moments where we open our eyes. And no matter who you are, whether you are a child or the Queen of England, everybody wakes up in their pajamas in that moment where we are the most basic form of ourself. I mean, sure, we have to get up and we have to button ourselves into whatever clothes we need for our identity that day, the one that we put on to function in the world and to maintain our relationships. But before we don that identity, teacher, mother, father, engineer, preacher, underneath that is our identity as a beloved child of God. Those beautiful words from the Spirit apply to us as well. "This is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27 tell us, "For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ." Martin Luther, the famous theologian, wrote that we should regard baptism as a daily garment that we put on each day to help us walk into the world fully embracing that identity as a child of God. Baptism is the first word of grace that is spoken over us by the church. In the Methodist Church, we practice infant baptism. It is a way that we express our belief in prevenient grace, The idea that God's grace is active and working in our lives and calling to us even before we are aware of it. Other faith traditions question this practice, saying that the child has not yet learned anything or done anything before their baptism. Exactly. Because there's nothing that we can do to earn the grace of God. Before we know it, before we can doubt it, before we can confess it, we are beloved by God. Not by any of our own effort, but because of what Christ has done on our behalf. So each day, we can remember our baptism and be thankful. It might be better to say, remember that you are baptized and be thankful. So we don't have any confusion, right? We're not trying to remember the historic events of the day that we are baptized. For many of us, we would have been infants and we would not be able to recall those details. No, we're remembering that we are marked by God. That in baptism, we have died to our old self and we rise from the water, our new life in Christ. During the baptismal ritual, we pray that we have died and are raised with Christ. So perhaps every day, as we rise from our sleep, we can remember our baptism and pray to live out the day ahead in newness with God. Sleeping and waking. They're both really ordinary acts in our daily life. But we've been talking about how liturgy within worship shapes our faith. And so what is that liturgy of our daily life? The ins and outs, those mundane actions, they're repetitive like liturgy. So how are they shaping us? Sleep is a place where we are totally vulnerable, where we can give up all control, and we can trust that God is active and working in our lives, in the world. If sleep does take up truly a third of our life, and our lives matter to God, then surely sleep must matter a great deal to God. We could talk a lot about the theological concepts of rest and Sabbath and needing that time to restore our souls and our bodies. Waking is a way that we can remember our identity as beloved children of God. An identity that is deeper and more real than any identity that we choose. Valued not for our own effort, but through the grace of God. Active and working in our lives before we even know or acknowledge it. We live in a world where people often try to tell us who we are or who we should be. That was true for Jesus. People thinking they knew why he had come, telling him what they thought he should be doing. And it's still true for us. And it's hard not to pay attention to that, especially if it's hurtful or it tears us down. But as we wake each morning, we can choose to reject that which would cause us doubt and remember our true identity as a child of God and remember that God is the one whom we aim to please. In his waking and his sleeping, Jesus trusted in his identity as the beloved Son of God. And born out of that love was his ministry to the world, his sacrifice for our sins, his death on the cross, and his resurrection that claimed victory over death. What is our response to that good news? Not just in the mountaintop moments of conversion or in a really exciting morning of worship or in a retreat where we get to leave behind the everyday, but in the everyday, In the ordinary, what is our response to this gift of being a beloved child of God? It's in those small moments that God is forming us into the people that God calls us to be. How we spend our days as a Christian determines how we spend our life as a Christian. Ordinary things can make an extraordinary difference in the life of a disciple. Let us pray. God, we know that you call us to be your people in every moment of every day. Help us to remember that we are your beloved children, that you always meet us where we are, but that you don't leave us there. Give us the courage to submit our days to your will, that we allow you to form us into who you are calling us to be as people of God. As we sleep, we trust in your grace at work. And as we wake, we recall our identity as your child. In our sleeping and waking, in our daily living, Lord, be with us all and help us all to be with you. Thank you for being the Lord of our lives, each and every day, each and every moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.